You're listening to Brain Busta Radio.
Welcome to Everything Pro Wrestling. Everything Pro Wrestling is a show by the fans, for the fans. And here's your host, Conrad Cushman.
Folks, welcome to Everything Pro Wrestling. Everything Pro Wrestling is a show by the fans. Wait for it. For the fans. I am your host, Conrad Cushman. And on this Saturday edition of the podcast, I have someone very special on. Perhaps my biggest guest so far. It is the one, the only, Chris Van Vliet. Chris, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, Conrad. Thanks for having me on. I'm always pumped to talk about wrestling.
You know, we see you all over the place. And for those of you who don't know who Chris Van Vliet is, Chris is a Canadian entertainment personality. We've seen him participate as a television and radio personality. He's a YouTuber, a professional film critic, and an entrepreneur currently residing in Miami, Florida. I don't know why I wanted to say something about the bad guy Razor Ramon after I said that. and you're currently an entertainment reporter for Fox, the affiliate WSVN, and you're on a show in Miami called Deco Drive. Is that correct?
That is the day job. Actually, I just came from there. So, I think, you know, a lot of people listening is probably familiar with the wrestling interviews that you see on YouTube and on my new podcast, which just launched this week. But my day job is I'm a TV host, an entertainment reporter, and I travel the world interviewing celebrities and red carpet, interviews and stuff like that. So I've always just been a wrestling fan, and I've been interviewing wrestlers for a while now. And, you know, now a lot of people are starting to see these interviews, which has been really cool.
Yes, and I forgot to mention, he is a four-time Emmy Award-winning entertainment reporter with 69 million views. I respect your grind and hustle, Chris.
Well, thank you very much, Conrad. I'm a big believer that hard work pays off, and I'm living proof of it. You know, I'm living proof of it. The harder you work, the more you get out of it.
Well, I know everybody on Brain Buster Radio is excited to hear what we're going to talk about today. So I got some questions for you, if you don't mind jumping right into it.
Let's do it.
Chris, as a professional wrestling fan growing up in Pickering, Ontario, Canada, which is actually pretty close to me. I'm in Buffalo, by the way.
Oh, you're just across the lake. Yeah.
Yeah. 3 hour drive or so, right? Not too bad.
And if we had a really fast boat, it'd be like half an hour right across Lake Ontario.
I'm sure there's tariffs or something going on about that.
Who knows?
But as a professional wrestling fan growing up in Pickering, Ontario, Canada, tell me about your upbringing and how you became interested in professional wrestling. Like, I want to hear everything from how you grew up, what life was like, and how did you get into wrestling?
My first memory of wrestling is seeing it on my grandfather's house. Like, you know, we're talking about, like, you know, wrestling on Saturday night and seeing the larger-than-life superstars, Macho Man Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. So every time we went to Grandpa's house, Grandma and Grandpa's house, it just happened to be on. It wasn't until I was about 15, 16 with the Attitude Era that I really got invested in it. And, like, there was no turning back for me. So, you know, it was Austin and Rock, and Vince McMahon's character was, you know, driving a lot of the storylines at the time. I loved Triple H, and I would be walking around my high school, raising the people's eyebrow and yelling, "It doesn't matter!" at people all the time. And I was part of a backyard wrestling federation called the HCW. My backyard wrestling character was Chris Sharp, who was sharp walking, sharp talking, sharp dressing. Sorry, just kind of promo on you there for a second. It was my dream to be a pro wrestler. It was my dream to be in the WWE. And I watched everything I could possibly watch at 16, 17, 18 years old. I watched Raw and I watched SmackDown and I watched Nitro and I watched Thunder, ECW, everything. And when I was 20, I actually went to wrestling school. And I was going to school about an hour away from a wrestling school in Toronto. And I was driving there. It was 4 days a week, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Saturday and Sunday all day. And I was training at the time. Actually, Angelina Love was at the wrestling school when I was there. And some other people that you might recognize, Tracy Brooks came through there. And I just kind of had to make a decision. It was too hard to go to wrestling school and actual college at the same time. So something had to give. And I continue with my college studies, which I was studying communication studies. So I think I made the right choice because now I get to do the best of both worlds. I get to still be a wrestling fan. I'm still get to do my broadcasting stuff, which is what I've always been passionate about as well. And I get to be part of the wrestling world in a little way, doing these interviews. And I'm also a ring announcer for a local wrestling company here in South Florida called Blueprint Pro Wrestling. So kind of all started back then. And, you know how it is. Once you're a wrestling fan forever.
Yes. And my next question is actually going to get into that point. But let me ask a little follow-up question to that. Now, you were into pro wrestling and everything else, but as a fan, were you an athlete all your life? Like, did you play football, basketball, hockey?
Well, yeah. I mean, of course, you grew up in Canada. You got to play hockey. It's just, you feel like you pop out of the womb wearing skates. but yeah, baseball, hockey were my two big sports. I started playing baseball when I was 4 years old. I played into my 20s. Hockey, I started playing at 6 years old, and I played till I was in college. I wrestled in high school, and the interesting thing about wrestling is when you're an amateur, quote-unquote amateur wrestler, doing the freestyler wrestling, you're basically told, like, you can't watch that WWE crap. Like, that's not real. And it was actually through me being on the wrestling team that I'm like, this makes me love wrestling even more. Like, I wanted to, like, work wrestling moves into my amateur matches, which you actually could really never do. Like, I thought about it. I'm like, oh, most of those moves are illegal. But those were my main sports: baseball and hockey and wrestling. Although, yeah, I played a little bit of volleyball, a little bit of basketball. I love sports. I'm still really active. I go to the gym every day. I run a lot. So yeah, I think that's just always been a part of my life.
That is definitely cool. Who are your teams? I know Buffalo Sabres are your favorite hockey team.
Oh, I mean, are the Buffalo Sabres anybody's favorite hockey team?
Come on, man. We were good years ago. We're coming back.
Look, I'm a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, and they haven't won the Stanley Cup since there were six teams in the league. 1967 was the last time the Leafs won the Cup. So the Leafs are my hockey team. Most of them are Toronto teams. And obviously, it's the Jays, it's the Raptors, it's the Leafs. And since we don't have an NFL team in Canada, I lived in Cleveland for 5 years, so I'm a big Browns fan. And I think the Cleveland Browns are going to be pretty damn good this year. So you guys better watch out there.
It looks like it on paper. We'll see. We'll see. I'm just like you. I like all the teams that – are they ever going to win a championship? So it's rough in Buffalo for me. So
who's your baseball day, team? You don't have a baseball team.
I'm a Yankees fan. We don't have a baseball team. But I do like the Yankees because my dad grew up watching them. So a little bit different, right?
And it's in the same state. So that makes sense.
But I've only been to a Blue Jays game, though. So it's kind of different, too. So you're like, ah, well. So Toronto's like I root for them down below, though. I'm like, yeah, they got to pull this one out. But they're not doing so hot this year.
They are not, no. Well, it's okay. The Raptors won the NBA championship.
Yes, yes. Shout out to Kawhi Leonard, man. That was a good acquisition.
Yeah, shout out to my guy with the same last name, Fred Van Vliet.
I was going to ask, any relation?
I wish. No, yeah. he spells his last name more wisely than I do. I don't know who in my family tree decided to keep the spelling of Vliet, which gets mispronounced all the time. At least Fred Van Vliet's last name, you can't really butcher.
So let me get back to that follow-up that we were talking about with the wrestling. So we're pretty close in age, actually, Chris. And here's how I feel. In my life, I feel like wrestling always grew up with me. I was a fan in the 80s, into the new generation, the Attitude Era, Ruthless Aggression. All that stuff grew up with me. Who were some of your all-time favorites growing up and some of your favorite matches that you've ever seen?
Rock is hands down, I think, all around, like, my favorite. Just so entertaining, so charismatic. He's a once in a lifetime, if not once in a century or more, like, performer. He's unbelievable. I loved Triple H, especially his heel work. 98, 99, 2000, everything with the corporation and all that stuff. I had a poster of Triple H on my wall. I was, you know, I was just really blown away by his work there. I have a ton of respect for him. In terms of actual in-ring wrestling, I loved AJ Styles in his, like, in the height of his TNA fame, 2005, 2006, 2007. I thought that AJ Styles was hands down the best in the world when it came to actual in-ring wrestling at that time. So those are the guys that, you know, really, I really looked up to. And when you ask about favorite matches, my favorite match of all time, I was there. WrestleMania 18, Rock Hogan, Sky Dome Toronto. That electricity in that crowd is something I had never felt before. And I don't know if that's ever, you know, happened in the wrestling world ever. Like, that stare down and the first 5 minutes or so when the crowd's just going insane for Hogan and booing The Rock, who's supposed to be the good guy. Whew, I got goosebumps just talking about it.
And the weird part is I just watched a, it was like a 7-minute YouTube, I don't know what you want to call it, like a little short film kind of about referees, and Mike Chioda was talking about it. And that match was like one of his highlights. And you really don't remember him being in the background, but he was like, it was so cool to be a part of that energy. And I just went back and watched that moment. So that is a truly remarkable match. Was it really as pro Hogan as it was? I know JR tried to cover it up on commentary.
Yeah, and I can't believe he was saying that on commentary. He's like, he said, like, many of the crowd chanting for The Rock. Quite frankly, many of the crowd chanting for Hogan. It's like, no, it was like 90% Hogan. And it's funny, I interviewed, the first time I interviewed The Rock, I guess it was 2012. So 10 years after that match, I said to him, I said, you were part of my favorite match of all time, Rock Hogan. He's like, oh, yeah, nice. That's, who are you cheering for? And I said, no, I was cheering for Hogan. He's like, yeah, me too.
Oh, man. Good stuff. Good stuff. And you know what? That brings up kind of a relevant point that I wanted to talk to you about. I wanted to get your thoughts on this entire movement that just happened today with WWE. They made a big shakeup to their programming, having Eric Bischoff now going to be, I think the title was executive director.
Right. And that's basically the person who's, you know, calling the shots.
Yeah, they're going to oversee creative. Paul Heyman on Raw, Bischoff on SmackDown. I just wanted your thoughts on that.
I mean, it's exciting news. And for the news to come out on the same day, like, brilliant marketing, brilliant strategizing by WWE by announcing it on the same day. Because think about it like this. If they had said, all right, Bischoff's taking over SmackDown, we would have been like, oh, yeah, but Raw, well, Raw's going to suck now. Or if they said, Heyman's taking over Raw, we would have been like, oh, but poor SmackDown. The fact that they announced this on the same day is super exciting. I don't think there's a single person in the wrestling world that's going, you know what? That's a bad hire. We all know these are the best possible people for these positions. Paul Heyman, when he was the head writer on SmackDown, however many years ago that was, that's when the ratings on SmackDown were starting to become better than the ratings on Raw. I'm interested to see how quickly we start to see some changes. Like, I wonder if the next show, if we're going to see something that's different. Like, I wonder if the next Raw is going to be a huge adjustment or not. But I think it's really exciting. And I'm interested to see what happens from here.
Yeah, I'd love to see it because I'm going to SummerSlam. So whenever they want to start those changes, I'm all in for it. And you know what? It really can't go too wrong when you have the minds of the people who brought, like, WWF to its highest point, WCW to its highest point, and ECW to its highest point. I really don't see how this could be a bad thing. It seems like most of the community is happy about that, and I don't blame them. And I heard some people kind of, everybody knows about Paul Heyman's creative genius, but Eric Bischoff sometimes gets, like, the doubtfulness, like, oh, he ran WCW into the ground. Listen, to Conrad Thompson, I have to give a lot of props to, besides having the same name as me, I got to give this guy a lot of props for what they bring out in 83 weeks. I feel like that's more of an educational show about the business of pro wrestling. Eric Bischoff has taught me about contracts and contract styles that I'm Googling in the middle of listening to his podcast.
Yeah.
That I absolutely love. So he knows what he's doing, and I think he's the right guy, especially if he's going to be working with the Fox executives.
Well, and I think the big thing people don't realize is just because we haven't seen Bischoff doing anything with wrestling doesn't mean he's, you know, not progressing and not getting better as a businessman. He's been doing a lot of producing for other TV shows behind the scenes. I interviewed him last year and he was telling me about all the TV shows he's working on. I think he was just working on a Netflix special recently. He's a great, great businessman and has, you know, one of the best minds in the wrestling world. So we've said it before and, you know, we're all saying it all the time, but this is a very exciting time to be a wrestling fan.
I agree. It's just a good time to love pro wrestling. You don't have to divide between WWE and AEW. You can like WWE, AEW, MLW. Look at all the people you interview. It's not like one company's like, oh, he interviewed someone from over there. I don't want to talk to that guy. It's like, no, man, everybody should just get along, man. It's a different world today. I don't know. I don't want to see that Monday Night War stuff again. Like, you can have fun, you can be competitive, but fans don't need to divide. Let's enjoy this for what we have, right?
I agree. And if AEW lands on Tuesday or Wednesday night, doesn't really matter to us as fans. I mean, that means our whole week is Monday, middle of the week, and then the end of the week, we're going to have wrestling. It's amazing.
You can't complain about it. And shout out to Alicia A, who will probably be doing some interviews for AEW as well.
Yeah, she's been killing it. Yeah, Alicia's awesome.
I saw you guys kill it together.
On YouTube. That was kinda, good stuff. Nice little collaboration there. And it turns out that we're both from the same small towns. We're both from Pickering, Ontario, which I knew we were both from Canada. I knew we were both from Ontario. But for us to be from the same town and basically grew up 5 minutes away from each other, it's like, what a small world.
It's like you guys are almost in like the Brainbuster Radio Hall of Fame too, man. You guys are you guys have both been on the show, but we absolutely love you guys and the work that you do.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, and I love doing it. You know, it doesn't feel like work when you're hanging out talking to wrestlers about wrestling and you love wrestling.
So, Chris, my next question for you is, now you've done so many interviews from wrestlers to entertainers. What are some of your more memorable moments on and off camera with these interviews?
Well, The Rock is hands down my favorite person to interview. I was such a fan of him, like I was mentioning before, growing up and just watching his matches and loving his promos. And then when I finally got to meet him in 2012 for our first interview, it was like, you know, it was like a culmination of everything. I was just this I was just a giddy little kid when I met him. And The Rock brings it, you know, to coin a phrase from him. He brings it every time. He's fun. He's charismatic. He's funny. And he has this celebrity quality about him where he makes you feel special in that moment. So that's really cool. And I love talking to Hogan too, because Hogan just oozes charisma. Like, Hogan is just, you know, he's always on. And he remembers, like, he has a great memory too. Like, I had only interviewed him once before, and I saw him maybe like 8 months later, and he's like, oh yeah, of course I remember interviewing you. And he told me the exact time and the exact, you know, location. I was like, wow, that's amazing. Like, think of all the interviews that guy does. And I had a moment with Hogan last summer. It was Hogan and Flair. I got to interview them both at the same time, which is really mind-blowing as a wrestling fan to be in the same room as both of those and then, like, sharing a conversation with them. We were waiting in this hotel room for Flair to show up, and I was just kind of just chatting with Hogan. And I told him, same thing I told Rock, my favorite match ever, you know, Rock Hogan, WrestleMania 18. And I said, did you know at the end of the match, like, were you aware that the NWO was going to turn on you? And he told me this great story that he didn't know the NWO was going to turn on him, that the ref told him to stay in the ring, which he thought was kind of weird because Rock had won the match and he was being told to stay in the ring. So he stayed in the ring and he didn't know what was going to happen. He knew something was up. NWO run down the ramp, beat him up. He gets to the back and Vince says to him, you're going to be in the red and yellow tomorrow. And he's like, that was so, you know, crazy to him. He hadn't worn red and yellow in years. And he said that, you know, they had to be on Raw the next night. They were in Toronto for Mania, had to be on Raw the next night in Montreal. So as soon as he left WrestleMania, he flew on Vince's private jet all the way back to Tampa where he lives so he could find some like box in his attic where he had his red and yellow gear that he hadn't worn in years. And he's like, I just told me, I'm just praying to God that it still fit me. And he grabbed a bunch of stuff, hopped back on the private jet, and made it back to Montreal in time for Raw. And I was like, I can't believe you're telling me this story. Like, that's my favorite match, and you're telling me this amazing story that I didn't even know about. It was so cool.
That is really, really awesome. I really wish you found out what happened with WrestleMania 8, man. That has traumatized me since I was a little kid. I'm like, why did we not get Flair versus Hogan? Why did you guys split the matches?
Yeah, I wonder what the real reason is. I kind of asked them in that interview, and they just basically said that, you know, it just didn't happen. But I'd love to hear the real reason behind that.
Like I said, if I could ever pick like a shoot interview to do, there, everyone always asks that question to me, and I'm always like, I would want Vince McMahon and me for like a couple hours hooked up to a lie detector, and yeah. That man knows everything in pro wrestling that people have wondered for years, probably.
Up to a lie detector. I like that caveat. Yeah, Vince is my number one interview too. That's the one interview I haven't done that I want to do more than anything.
Let's see here. So, any memorable moments off camera though with some entertainers perhaps that you would really like to let the people know about?
I had a pretty cool moment a couple weeks ago when I was in Los Angeles. I had interviewed Batista for his new movie Stuber, which, by the way, it's not in theaters yet. It comes out in the middle of July, July 12th, I think. That movie's really good. It's really funny. We see like a completely different side of Batista, but I walk into the room and he like immediately remembered me. And I did like an interview with him like 3 or 4 years ago. And he's like, "Hey Chris, it's good to see you." And I'm like, "Wow." And then I happened to run into him about an hour or two later after he'd done all the interviews. And like, he was like, "Oh Chris, it was great talking to you. I could talk about wrestling all day." And it was just this really cool moment of like, you know, here's someone who I looked up to and I thought was an incredible wrestler and had this great career. And here he is spending 5 minutes to talk to me because he just loves wrestling. And that was a really cool moment that we got to share together.
Absolutely. I feel like him and The Rock both have this, I don't know what I want to call it. It's like this charm about them that makes them such great entertainers. And even with you, like, you guys have this, you're so friendly, so welcoming. The voice is always on point. Just really nice people, and I absolutely dig that. And I think that brings up the main reason why they're in Hollywood. They have that charm. They have that look. They have, I'm using the finger quotes, the it factor. And I think it's absolutely great that you get to talk to all of these guys and show, like, who they are as a person, too.
Well, I feel super fortunate to be able to do what I do. Like, it's such a really cool thing. And I think that at the end of the day, when you peel away, you know, the fact that, you know, these are millionaires and they're movie stars, they're just people. You know, they're people who worked really hard and, you know, and in a lot of cases got some, you know, really big breaks, but they're just people. And I'm glad that I'm able to have conversations with them, just showing off that they're just a person. You know, they're a really successful person, but they're just a person.
Yeah, it reminds me of, I just watched that Big Cass thing on DDP Yoga.
Oh,
I saw that
pop
up on YouTube. And that was really like a deep message to people. Forget, like, yeah, Big Cass made all this money while he was working in WWE, but he's just a person. And when he was talking about his dealings with depression and everything else, it's kind of like, man, that really hit home. Like, these guys are just real people going through the same things that we go through. So
1,000%. Absolutely.
Chris, I got to ask you again here. How excited are you for the current landscape of pro wrestling? And I feel like the business is changing before our eyes. And I really want your thoughts and opinions on AEW, because you had that great interview with Tony Khan. I think I watched that like 2 or 3 times because it was so good.
Wow. And you've watched it more times than me then.
Absolutely. It was, I didn't want to miss a beat in it. And I think Tony Khan is an interesting personality too in the wrestling world. I think from your interview, I was trying to learn more about him and who he really is. So, so first, what do you think of the current landscape of pro wrestling?
Hey, there's no better time to be a wrestling fan. And that's not just because of AEW. And that's not just because of Heyman and Bischoff getting hired. It's just, there's never been as much access to wrestling as we have right now. Like 20 years ago, you were trading tapes to try to watch wrestling. Now, if you and I are talking about a great match that we loved from the mid-90s, you know, we can look it up on YouTube and we can start watching it immediately. And I just love that. I love how much access we have now. AEW is exciting. And I don't know if that anyone's been, I don't think anyone's ever been this excited about wrestling ever. Like, we've had a lot of new companies come and go. We've had a lot of new companies come and they're still around. But I don't remember when Impact Wrestling started, anyone being this excited about it. I remember when Lucha Underground started, maybe after like season one, people were like, oh, you got to check it, check this thing out. It's different. It's unique. It's cool. But it didn't have the buzz like AEW has. And the crazy thing about this is AEW, as we talk about this right now, has only had one show. They obviously have another one scheduled for this Saturday, but they've only had one show. And the fact that we're this excited after them having one show, I think that speaks volumes for the product that they have. And, you know, the hopes are high for the future for them. And, man, let's just sit back and soak this in as wrestling fans. Whether you like AEW, Ring of Honor, WWE, Impact Wrestling, MLW, New Japan, whatever it happens to be, pro wrestling unites us all. And it's awesome. And I'm just reveling in it.
I love the fact that you can go to your local indie show, meet someone who's going to be on one of these major promotions, and you don't know what's going to happen at that indie show. That footage could be taken and used for whatever promotion is promoting something else. You could have the Young Bucks randomly show up at an event. It's just a good time to be a fan, like you said. And yep. Your interview with Tony Khan, what was it like for you? I know you said you had a very long car ride that day to get up there to do that, so... Please, if you have anything about Tony Khan that you wanted to say or tell us anything about that interview, please.
Tony Khan is a bigger wrestling fan than even you could imagine. And I know that people talk about it all the time. And, you know, it was evident in our interview and evident in the interview we did with Jericho. But Tony Khan is a massive wrestling fan with a Rain Man-esque knowledge for the business. He can tell you the details of a match he watched 20 plus years ago. He could tell you what number it was on the match card. He could tell you if it was before or after the intermission. It's insane. And that kind of attention to detail has helped him in his job. I mean, he deals a lot with the stats that they have in for the Jacksonville Jaguars, the team that him and his family own. And I think that it's going to help with running AEW. And I couldn't think of a better guy to run this and a better team that he surrounded himself with. Tony Khan, Kenny Omega, the Bucks, and Cody Rhodes are all in it and they're doing it. And I think that that's a big difference. There's a lot of people, and Cody pointed this out in our interview, there's a lot of people in WWE who are calling shots that have never taken a bump in the ring. And that's not the case here with AEW. So Tony Khan has the money, which, I think a lot of other wrestling companies have struggled with. That's not going to be a problem here. But beyond that, it's not just about money. And I think a lot of people talk about, you know, the money being, oh, they got lots of money, they'll be fine. But they're also good businessmen. And just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean you're just going to throw it around and, you know, like the money doesn't mean anything to you. They want to, if you're a good businessman, which they obviously are as a family, they want to make money here. And, I'm excited that they're the people who are running this.
Absolutely. Now, Chris, this is kind of the portion of the show where I usually play a word association game with my guests. Usually I let them say a few words or one word, and we'll bring up some certain topics and kind of maybe delve into them real quick. If you're okay with that.
Of course, let's do it.
All right. My first one is a movie, Criminal Activities.
Yeah, I was the star of that movie. That's right.
Yeah, the news reporter.
I'm in it for about 8 seconds. But I can say I was in the same movie as John Travolta.
There is nothing wrong with that. That is good stuff. Any memories from filming that?
We filmed it in my TV station. This was crazy. None of the crew from the movie were there. I got cast in this movie. My agent got this job for me. I was cast in this movie. I had a phone call with the director, Jackie Earl Haley, and he basically said, we want this to look as authentic as possible. We want this to look and sound just like an actual newscast. So we're going to send you the script, and you read it on set like you would normally read it. And that was it. They emailed me a script. I got to work that night. We put it in a teleprompter just like we normally would with an actual news story. I read it like three different times. We recorded it. And I think I sent them a flash drive with the file on it. And that was it. I was actually never on the set of the movie for that.
That is absolutely crazy.
Which and is crazy because I've been in a lot of movies. Well, a lot of movies. I've been in like five movies. And every single other one, you go on set, you're in hair and makeup for a while, then you go to wardrobe, and then you like, you know, sit around, you eat delicious food. Like being on a movie set's awesome. You're eating great food and you're surrounded by awesome creative people. And then it's finally time to like say your lines in front of a whole bunch of people. This was just, you know, a completely different scenario. It was really fun. And it's so cool, you know, a year later or whatever, when the movie finally came out, and I'm like, oh, there it is.
That's super, super cool. Let me get to my second one. 969, the TV series.
Yeah, that was my first big break, I'd say. I was in Vancouver, so I'm from Toronto. Vancouver's a pretty long way away. Like, you know, put things in perspective, that'd be like New York to Seattle. Yeah, and I got offered this job on MTV2. And it was basically like the Canadian version of TRL. We were playing music videos and reviewing video games and interviewing celebrities and interviewing musicians. And what a great, amazing job. I was 23 years old when I got that job. It's also where I did my first ever wrestling interview with Bobby Lashley, which I just found like an old archived tape of that interview. So now I have to find a way to get the interview off of that tape. And look out for it, because as soon as I get that digitized, I'm planning to put it up on my YouTube channel.
Yes, I would love to see that.
It's embarrassing. It's not a good interview, but it's basically to show, like, hey, there's hope for us all. If this is where I started, you know, there's hope for us all.
Listen, if TRL was as popular as it was when I was a kid, you're like the Carson Daly. You're going to be good, man.
Yeah, well, that was the Canadian version, though.
So next I have Inside Jam.
That was a show I did after 969. You know, and to make a long story short, the 969 was this great, amazing show. And one big media conglomerate bought this other one, and our show ended up getting canceled. So I was out of work for 7 months. Like, I had this dream job. I'd moved my entire life 3,000 miles across the country to Vancouver. And after just 1 year, our show got canceled. There was nothing we could do about it. And I kind of had to figure things out. I drove my car 47 hours back home, moved back in with my parents. And it was 7 months later that I finally got hired for another TV show, which was Inside Jam. And was on that show for 2 years before moving to Cleveland and, you know, starting my career in the U.S. But yeah, the moral of what I'm saying here is don't get discouraged. 7 months of being unemployed was not fun, but it made me a lot stronger, and I think it really helped me become the broadcaster that I am now.
Absolutely. The highs and the lows always do help. Bachelor of the Year.
Yeah. Cosmopolitan's Bachelor of the Year 2011 is yours truly. That was a really interesting thing. Cosmopolitan magazine picks one person to represent each state. And I happened to be the representative for Ohio because I was living in Cleveland at the time. They flew us all to New York. They took photos of us on a beach. It was in Cosmopolitan magazine. And then the readers voted for who the Bachelor of the Year was out of all the states. And I won. And I won a $10,000 prize that I donated to the Boys and Girls Club of Cleveland, which, you know, meant so much to me to be able to donate it to an organization that does so much great work there.
Yeah, that was really cool. I looked up that you donated that money. That is absolutely awesome. And I'm pretty sure that you won based on being the best dressed man that does interviews in pro wrestling. Easily, easily.
Well, now I'm just wearing t-shirts because it just feels more comfortable. But yeah.
You're showing off those arms though now.
I can't. I guess I should buy larger shirts. I don't know. What can I say? I like going to the gym.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, man. Now, number five is going to be one that people probably haven't heard yet. Bass fishing.
Yeah, I'm super passionate about bass fishing. Almost as much as I'm passionate about wrestling. I've been bass fishing my entire life. I fished in a lot of bass tournaments in Canada, also in Ohio. And here in Florida, I live pretty close to Lake Okeechobee. It's about an hour drive away. And Lake Okeechobee is known as one of the best largemouth bass lakes in the world. So I still do a lot of bass fishing. I've taken my love of bass fishing and I started a bass fishing brand called Woo Tungsten. We sell tungsten fishing weights for bass fishing. And that is the correct way to pronounce it. You know, some people might say Woo Tungsten, but the correct way to say it is Woo Tungsten.
Little Ric Flair you got to add on to it.
And it's also what you say when you catch a big fish. You're jacked up. You're excited. Woo! You know?
I like it. I did not know that about you. So that's really awesome when I looked that up, too, that you won some competitions doing that.
Yeah. I don't do it as much now because, you know, I'm traveling all the time with work and with doing these interviews. But there's nothing better than bass fishing when I have some free time.
Now we're going to get to some of the weird ones. Toronto Raptors, you know we got to talk about them a little bit. How good did it feel for your city to win the NBA championship when nobody probably thought they would?
Oh, man, it was such a long time coming, too. Like, the last championship in Toronto was 1993. The Toronto Blue Jays had just won back-to-back World Series championships. So to go 26 years without a championship, the cool thing about this, and same thing when the Blue Jays won, is the team represents Toronto, sure, but they're the only team in the entire country. So all of Canada was rooting for the Raptors. And a lot of my friends were down there and in Jurassic Park, which is that, you know, area outside where everyone's watching the game on the big screen. It's just awesome to see the whole country come together and root for something like that. And man, I haven't been back to Toronto since Christmas, but I can't wait to get back there because I know that energy will still be there. It'll still be in the air.
Hopefully someone got you some championship swag for that, man.
I need to get a Fred VanVleet jersey. It would make so much sense.
Oh, man. Drake.
Yeah, Drake loves himself some Toronto Raptors. I've never had the pleasure of meeting Drake, but I love how he embraces Toronto. I love how he reps the city. And, man, you want to talk about passion. That guy is extremely passionate about the Raptors.
Prime Wrestling.
Prime Wrestling is it was the organization that I was doing a little bit of work for in Cleveland, Ohio. And they worked me into some of the storylines there. I was a guest ring announcer a couple times. I got worked into a storyline where the culmination of the storyline was me being worked into a match, and I got to give a rock bottom to one of the heels, which was such a cool thing, like popping the crowd, giving the rock bottom, posing on the turnbuckle. And that clip is on YouTube if you want to look it up. It was a really cool thing.
I have Blueprint Wrestling down that you mentioned before.
Yeah, so I'm now the ring announcer for Blueprint Pro Wrestling in Deerfield Beach. They've been bringing in a lot of talent. The main event, the last show, was Chris Masters versus Austin Theory. And if you know anything about Evolve Wrestling, Austin Theory is the Evolve champion. You're probably going to be seeing him in WWE because he's that talented. He's that good. So it's just been really cool to be, you know, obviously it was my dream at one point to be a pro wrestler, and now I can, you know, be involved in that pro wrestling world. I still get to step between those ropes, still get to stand in the middle of that ring. Obviously, I'm not having matches, but I still get in there and I run the ropes. I can take some bumps. It's good that that's still a part of my world.
That is awesome. Next, I have a guy who I even had personal beef with at one point, MJF.
Oh, why do you have personal beef with him?
So, probably a few weeks before you interviewed him, I told MJF he was going to be at one of my local shows. I don't know if you're familiar with the Buffalo Brothers, Kevin Bennett, and all those guys. They got into that big car accident. Tried to make people aware, raise some funds for everything for them. And this was kind of like their return show. They were coming back to ESW locally here, Empire State Wrestling. And I said I was going to be doing a review on the show afterwards. After that, I put that tweet out, and then all of a sudden I started noticing it going off, and I'm like, why is everybody looking at this tweet I put out? And then I look, MJF said, nobody cares about your opinion, you're irrelevant. So to that, we started responding back to him. Wilf, my fellow Brainbuster colleague, put that your scarf was out of season and it got really bad. So we go to the show. MJF does his dastardly ways. He wins his match, cheating, obviously. And he comes around asking for pictures. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get a picture with him. And we'll see if he knows who he was talking to before. And I'm not a small dude. I'm a big guy. So I went over to him. And I'm like, yeah, let me get a picture. He's like, all right, cue ball, come on up. And I'm bald, too. So cue ball, come on up. And he goes over to me. And I'm like, MJF, do you know who you're talking to? And he was like, no. And I was like, I'm the guy you were talking to on Twitter, EPW show. And he was like, oh. And then he, like, stuck up his middle finger. He didn't care about anything. But I got him good there, razzed the crowd a little bit. And I got the crowd to laugh while we were taking the pictures. So me and MJF, always funny guy, but just a little bit of beef. And I figure you would have more because of the toast incident.
Yeah, well, the whole interview, you know. you know what MJF's like. But, you know, outside of that, I have a tremendous amount of respect for everything he's doing. You know, maybe he wasn't that nice to me at all. I mean, I don't know who orders room service in the middle of an interview.
To be fair, though, he did give you a bite of the omelet. It looked good.
That omelet was really good. I got to say. That omelet was really good. I think that I'd be very, very shocked if MJF wasn't the second or third AEW world champion, because obviously it's going to either be Hangman or Jericho. And then I think from there, look, I'll be surprised if he's not the first heel champion for sure. He's very talented.
Great wrestler, but that mouth is what brings people in to see him. I tell you, he is good.
I think what was so telling is that at Double or Nothing, like, obviously we'd never heard his entrance theme before, his AEW entrance theme. The second that note hit and we saw the scarf on the screen, everyone's just like, boo! And I'm like, yep, that guy's over.
You know what was the best part about my thing too? After he did all that stuff to me, it was probably like a day or two later, Creative Pro came out with that Rosie O'Donnell video. Oh man, wow. I got him so good. I was like, oh, this is priceless, buddy. You can say whatever you want. I still love you, MJF.
He's very talented.
I got two more for you. John Cena.
Yeah, John Cena. I've interviewed him twice now, but this interview I did WrestleMania weekend was really something special. Like, that interview was only supposed to be 10 minutes long. He walked up to me. He's like, I'm in. Well, first of all, let me backtrack this a little bit. We set this up through a mutual friend, Tyler Perry, who I've interviewed a bunch of times. And John Cena texted me and was like, hey, a mutual friend highly recommended you. So let's make this happen WrestleMania week. And I'm like, oh my God, John Cena's texting me. And we texted back and forth to make this happen. Then we set the time, set the date. I showed up. It was at a gym. And I said, I'm here. And Cena texted me back and said, I'm here too, and I can't see you, and I'm not trying to be funny. So we did the interview. He walks up. He says, I've got 10 minutes. And I said, great, let's do it. So at about the 10-minute mark, I tried to wrap up the interview, as you see. And he goes, oh, hold on. Looks at his phone, sees we got more time, goes, you got more time. Let's go. And he ended up giving me 25 minutes of just, like, you know, in-depth conversation, very grounded, very real. I mean, it was one of the most interesting interviews I think Cena might have ever done, or at least recently has ever done. And I was super grateful for that moment. He was so kind with me, so gracious with his time. And, you know, I've got nothing but respect for John Cena, the man. You know, say what you want about John Cena, the character, whether you cheer him or you boo him, he's getting some sort of reaction out of you. But John Cena, the human, is just a really, really solid guy.
And last but not least, I put down the people's champ, The Rock. I know you went into some great details about him being your favorite and your previous interview with him, but any last words to wrap up on The Rock?
I just can't wait to interview him again. Like, Rock is my favorite interview. There's just such an energy he has about him, this infectious energy. He has such a magnetic personality. And, you know, I was really hoping to interview him for his new movie, Hobbs and Shaw, and unfortunately, the scheduling just didn't work out. I'm a little bit bummed about that. But whatever his next movie is after that, I think it would be Jungle Cruise. So I'm looking forward to making that one happen.
I can't wait to see when you interview him.
Yeah, he's the man.
Chris, two last questions for you.
Okay.
First, Chris, tell Brainbuster Radio listeners about the Chris Van Vliet podcast. I saw that you broke 200. Are you above that yet?
We're like 156 or something, which I think is pretty good, considering the podcast, as you and I record this right now, is about 72 hours old, which is awesome. So thank you to everyone who's been downloading episodes and leaving 5-star reviews. But basically, for the longest time, I've had a lot of people commenting on my YouTube videos or tweeting me or leaving Instagram comments and saying, can you make an audio version of these interviews? Because, you know, my interviews have been, you know, they're long. They're 30, 40, sometimes 50 minutes long. And I get that you can't keep a YouTube window open that whole time. Or you know, I get that you don't want to look at me for 50 minutes. It's completely understandable. I take no offense to that. So I've been taking the audio versions of these YouTube interviews and putting them on my podcast with some interesting stories of how the interviews came together, you know, if I had to drive to get them or how I got the interview to happen, which I think kind of makes it, you know, that much more interesting. And then you've got the whole interview to listen there. So the podcast launched on Monday. It's Thursday right now. So thank you to everyone who's been consuming this, and a future thank you to anyone who downloads them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great idea. And I do love the personalization, even with your videos, kind of like that after wrap up where it's just you maybe talking in your kitchen or in your hotel room and you just have the camera on you. It feels personalized. And I really like that. So that's something you should definitely keep.
Yeah, well, thank you. And it's something I started maybe about a year ago. And it's just like, you know, I just wanted to give people a little bit more of the story behind it, because all you see in these interviews is me and someone else sitting there talking. But, you know, in a lot of these cases, I've flown across the country or I've driven across the state or I've woken up super early or whatever happens to be to make these happen. And I think that that's interesting. And a lot of the stuff that you don't see on camera is interesting stuff. You know, like people would have never known that it was Tyler Perry, you know. Tyler Perry, the actor / director / producer, you know, mega multimillionaire, who was the one that made this John Cena interview happen. And I love putting those little tidbits out there.
Networking is always important in our field.
Yeah, no, networking is important in whatever field you work in.
And then, Chris, I'm going to hit you with a hard question here to end it. My last question, Chris, is we've been hearing in wrestling the phrase change the world. How do you want to change the world with your platform?
Well, I think it's just starting to dawn on me, maybe in the last couple months, that I have a platform. So I think I need to, you know, really start to think about that. It's funny. I've been posting these interviews on YouTube for over 8 years, I think 8.5 years now. And it was just like I was putting them up there, you're not really thinking much about it. It's just like I wanted these interviews to live somewhere and be consumed by fellow wrestling fans. And I was saying for the longest time, I'm not a YouTuber. I'm a person who does interviews and puts them on YouTube. And I think in the last, you know, at least year, I've started to realize, yeah, I guess I am a YouTuber. So I don't know how I want to change the world, but I think the phrase that I say a lot, and I'm sure you've heard it, and anyone who knows me has heard it, vague goals get vague results. And I just want that to stick with people, that like you need to set specific goals for yourself if you want to reach, you know, specific things in your life. And I think that it's important to set benchmarks for yourself instead of just living each day, you know, as it comes. I think you should live each day with a purpose. And I'm a super positive person. I'm always looking for the best in every situation, looking for the you know, glass half full. And I think that that's what I want to do. That's how I want to change the world. Like if I can do that through my YouTube videos, or I can do that through my Instagram, you know, posts, if just one person lives a better life or makes a positive change in their life because of that, I think that that, you know, really helps me. That makes me feel like I've done something right.
Chris, thank you so much for your time. I know you're one of the busiest men in entertainment, so I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to sit down, talk with me on the Brainbuster Radio podcast. You are fabulous for doing that. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks for inviting me on, Conrad, and you know, keep doing what you're doing, man.
Yeah, I'd love to do this again if you ever have an opportunity in the future, so maybe we can sit down and talk again later on.
Let me know. I'll be at SummerSlam, so...
I will be there as well.
Maybe we can do this in person. Who knows?
Oh, that would be nice. Let me know. I'll be there for NXT TakeOver, too.
Well, that's going to be a hell of a show. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, so let me know. Thanks again for having me on. It was a great chat.
Yes, thank you so much. You'll hear a word from our sponsors after this, and then you guys can listen to me wrap up the rest of this podcast episode. Thank you for tuning in. And once again, thank you, Chris Van Vliet.
Thank you. That was great.
Everything Pro Wrestling, it's your boys from the Everything College Basketball Podcast and Facebook group. I'm Josh Burton, letting you all know that if you like the college game, that there's only one spot to come find all you need to know.
Yep, Josh, Peyton, and myself, Tyler, we are the three voices of ECB podcast and Facebook group. Peyton, tell them where they can find us and listen to us at.
Well, Tyler, you can find us on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and all other podcast hosting sites. Also, go join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/everythingcollegebasketball.
So if you want everything you need to know about the collegiate game or have a passion for it, there's only one spot that you need to check out on a weekly basis or a daily basis with the Facebook group. That's Everything College Basketball. Now let's get back to Conrad informing you on everything pro wrestling and the workings around it.
Brother.
Hey everyone, David Conrad here, owner of the Gorilla Position Wrestle Store. We're an online store headquartered in San Antonio, Texas, bringing you the best and original wrestling shirts, accessories, collectibles, and more. We're glad to be partnering with Brainbuster Radio, and to thank them and to thank you, we're offering 10% off all purchases with the coupon code BRAINBUSTA. That's BRAINBUSTA. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under @GPWrestleStore. Or check out our website, www.gpwrestlestore.com. Remember, when you want the best wrestling experience, you gotta hang out in Gorilla Position.
Yo, what is good, everybody? This is your man, Montez and Scott, Mr. Move Like a Thief of the Night, the Titan, Theme Song Maker, Podcast Host, and you are listening to Everything Pro Wrestling. Salute.
Ladies and gentlemen, a big thank you to Chris Van Vliet for joining me today on the podcast. Chris was absolutely amazing in talking to me. Make sure you guys check out the description box. I will have links for his new podcast on Apple and Spotify. I will also have his Twitter handle and his YouTube channel. So make sure you guys subscribe and follow him on all of his social media. Then next week is the G1 week for Brainbuster Radio, and I have a roundtable set up, and we are going to talk about the G1 Climax Tournament. You guys are not going to want to miss this. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your Saturday, and if you're listening to this on another day, enjoy the rest of your day. Make sure you guys subscribe to Brainbuster Radio, as we are bringing you the best in wrestling. Thank you. Peace. We'll be right back.